Heard about Anchor? It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back. A couple of firsts for me today. First episode in double digits. This is episode number 10 of the YWC Football Talk podcast. Sorry if my voice sounds off. I'm fighting a bit of a cold. No, I do not have the coronavirus. I have the common cold. So if you're wondering why my voice is a little off, that's because of it. But we have a couple of new firsts today besides the actually more than two. We have three. The first guest from the West Coast will be on. He will be announced very shortly. The first episode I'm recording during the daytime, it is Sunday, March the 8th. It is currently 5:07 p.m. Elimination Chamber starts in a couple of hours, but before we watch that crappy pay-per-view, we got to talk some football. So Miguel's going to be on, and you know what? I just spoiled it myself. Freaking Yeah Yeah 88, Miguel. He's going to be on talking about his Raiders. We're going to talk a little bit about maybe the move to Vegas, the AFC West, potential for what to see. The quarterback fit is going to be in Las Vegas, and also two other looks at the AFC here and there. So, yeah, I got to call Miguel on Skype, get him up, all set up to go. And also, too, like I said, first episode recording when it's purely daylight out. So, bunch of firsts today. So, anyway, guys, I will be back in just a second with Miguel. Okay, and we are back, episode 10 of the YWC Football Talk podcast. Today we have a noted Raiders fan. Should we say Raiders, or are you okay saying is it Las Vegas Raiders, Vegas Raiders?
It's Las Vegas Raiders, yeah.
Las Vegas Raiders. Only asking too because I know with the Golden Knights, they don't like saying the Las, they just say Vegas Golden Knights. Just quick thoughts quickly with the team and everything. I think we should just get into this. The Tom Brady potential mix for that team. Actually, just give me a quick second. I got to fix something. Sorry about that, guys. Just some audio thing I had to fix quickly. But anyway, with the Vegas Raiders, I'm just going to ask you right off the hop, do you want Brady in a Raiders uniform for the 2020 season, or do you want to stick with Derek Carr?
You know what? I feel like those are two separate questions because I don't want Brady. And with Carr, I could go either way. I love Carr, but I was hoping that Cam Newton would become available for the right price, something that wouldn't, you know, cost too much to still give us that flexibility that we've been working for this offseason with our cap. But that's, I don't know, like where they, I don't know where the Panthers stand with Cam. I guess we'll get into that later. But Brady, no, I think the guy can still contribute. I don't think that there's some people that actually think he's done. Like, he's going to be a very subpar quarterback. I think he can still actually be a good quarterback. It just depends what talent they surround him with. If you look at the game, was it the one game that the Patriots had Antonio Brown for this past season? Like, he played well, and Tom Brady. And not to say he didn't play in the other games, but just to show you how he can play still with a weapon like that around him. So I think, you know, the team that he's going to be getting offers from, like the Titans and the Colts, those are great places for him to go to. Us, I can see the fit. You know, we have a really good underrated offensive line, but no, that's not what we need at this point. We don't need a $30-plus million quarterback who's 43. Or is he 43? He's going to turn 43 by the season.
He'll be 43 August the 3rd. So, yeah, by the start of the season.
Yeah, so he'll be 43, even if it's a two-year deal. The point is, you know, to pay him that much more, it's just not for us. We're not a piece away. We're pieces and pieces away. So, no, I don't want Tom Brady on our team.
I don't blame you, like you said. Like, I remember last year, too, and Mayock went out and spent all that money on the offensive line. He was criticized for it when saying, why did you spend on the offensive line when you could have gone out and gotten some playmakers? But it's one of those things where, you know what, you got to find those hidden gems of those playmakers. And look, if you build the right offensive line, you're going to have a winning program. That's why a team like the Indianapolis Colts, in my opinion, are in the mix for Tom Brady, because they have one of the best offensive lines in the league. Even to look at Dak Prescott with the Cowboys. Cowboys, when healthy, one of the best O-lines in the league. But like you said, they are a work in progress, but I see two things for the Raiders. I think Cam Newton would be a good fit because it wouldn't be so much pressure on him to run and make plays. He can give it to Jacobs. He can get it to Waller. You got Williams receiving. He's got that offensive line, so he's not going to get as hurt as much. And he also, like, or not as hurt as much, but the risks of him getting hurt are going to go down. And two, like I said, he's that Vegas, like that Vegas appeal to him where it's just he's loud. He dressed both vocally loud, dresses loud if you want to. The only other option I could see is like what happened in Kansas City in 2017 where they drafted Mahomes, but Smith was playing, just let's replace Smith with Carr, and they developed someone behind Carr, and then Carr's gone for the 21 season. But at the same time, too, it's not like Derek Carr is this quarterback where he's horrendous and everything. No, it's just when he screws up, it gets heavily criticized.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not going to defend Derek Carr. Like, we have some Raider fans on Twitter that are just, you know, they're really, they hate to see Derek Carr criticism. I think last season did a lot to really just, I don't know, shed some light on a lot of his flaws. And here's the thing. He's still, I think we can still win with him. We don't have to get rid of him. Like, moving on from him is not the only option. As you said, you know, we spent money to improve our offensive line, which it paid off because statistically, Derek Carr had the best season he's ever had in his career. And he did this without, you know, the whole, and I called him Antonio Brown earlier because, you know, I think it just slipped out, but I always call him Antonio Clown because this guy was just such, like, a headache for us, to say the least. I'm not even, you know, going to go off rant with that, but everything and the injuries, the lack of depth on our team, like, he had so much to go through. And he's had, like, what, 3-4 offensive coordinators in his career. He's had a lot to go through. And he still put up really good numbers last season. He's put up good numbers in the past. So moving on from him is not our only option. But like I said earlier, if Cam were to become available, I'd be like, all right. I mean, I think we should go on that. Even though Cam is, you know, coming off surgery, I know Jalen Hurts from Oklahoma has been thrown, his name has been mentioned. When it comes to our draft, just because he's a guy that we could potentially get as early as the second round, maybe even later, depending on how the guys fall in the first round. But I wouldn't mind that. Like you said, you know, just bringing in someone that we can groom. But if we do that, I mean, it's almost for certain that he would be gone after next year. I would personally prefer bringing in Mariota. I think if we bring in Mariota in free agency at the right price, he's a guy that if we need him to, you know, like if Carr gets hurt, he's a guy that I would not mind bringing in with our type of offense, our offensive line, and the weapons that we presumably will have in the season. Gruden loves a guy like him that just is, oh, nothing there. Let me just go on and run. You know, he loves a guy like him. And if we can bring him in, I think he'll be good enough to light a maybe needed fire under Derek Carr to, you know, like, okay, there's someone that's potentially here to take my job. I got to make sure I perform this season. So that's personally what I would prefer. I know that Ryan Tannehill just took his job in Tennessee, but I would prefer Mariota.
To
get another guy.
Yeah, exactly. I like the Jalen Hurts take from you because Jalen Hurts, it's also to not even like the whole, oh, grooming for there. Like if you can get like a quarterback who's a little bit lower, even Jacob Eason out of Washington, a guy who's not going to come in right away, take his job, or even to, what's another example? Like with the Patriots did this last year's draft where they took Jared Stidham in the fourth round. It's a guy that he's going to back up. He backed up Brady. He was no threat to take his job. So maybe if you do that, or even a guy like a Mariota, it's going to give Raider fans that whole, like, because which year was it when Derek Carr broke his leg? Was it 17 or is it 16?
16.
Because that was the season you guys had an amazing season. You're making the playoffs. And then week 16, he broke his leg or he tore his ACL. And then Connor Cook came in. So, like, God-fearing, I wouldn't want to wish an injury upon any NFL player. But if Derek Carr were to go down, even like look at what the Saints did this past year with, I'm not saying go out and get Teddy Bridgewater, but if Marcus Mariota can come in, fill the void, that's not a bad pick. I actually really agree with that because, like you said too, John Gruden loves his quarterback, but more than anything, he loves a quarterback who knows, hey, he can just go in there, get the job done, no questions asked.
Yeah, and sometimes, I mean, again, going back to how, you know, Ryan Tannehill took his job. Ryan Tannehill took the ball and ran with it. I mean, no pun intended. He just went in there, and it was a great fit for him. It was a great fit for the Titans. That's not to say Mariota's done or washed up. It just didn't work out in the end. And he did have a couple good seasons in Tennessee. Not stellar seasons, but within the first two seasons he had there in Tennessee, it looked like, okay, they did get their guy. They just seemed to build around him. Did they do that per se? That's debatable. But at the end of the day, it just didn't work out. There's guys that just need to change the scenery. There's guys that, you know, even though one guy did more with the same pieces than you did, it just may be time for you to get out of there. And, he's leaving at the right time. I mean, not really by choice because, again, a guy took his job. But I think it'll be a change of scenery would do him a lot of good.
Exactly. You're nailing all these facts in the head, like the change of scenery for him. And also, too, it's a guy that comes in where I feel like you're going to get some Raider fans who are kind of skeptical of it. But then again, like you said, the first couple years in Tennessee, Mariota had nothing. They had, I think it was the first or second pick back-to-back years, but then they traded it to get, Philly, I think they had one or two. So either they traded it to the Rams or to the Eagles. But then it ended up working in their favor where they're able to draft all these other talents that year. They got Derrick Henry. And, like, yeah. Even, too, they had the year in 2017 where they went to Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs, and then they lost to the Patriots in the divisional round. But even, too, like, the 18 season, they got out on the last possible game of the year, that win-or-go-home game against the Colts for the second wild card spot. Mm-hmm. Not to say that the Titans were a bad team or Mariota was a bad quarterback. No, it's just that, you know what, he didn't get off on the right foot. Someone came in there, like you said, no pun intended, took the ball and ran with it. Now Mariota can go somewhere. You know what? Hey, it's a fresh start. I'm a backup. There's no pressure under me. That's why his name has been linked to teams like the Raiders, like the Bears, where if Marcus Mariota can go to somewhere where he's going to get a fresh start and to know, hey, there's not a lot of pressure off my shoulders. Like, look, it did wonders for Ryan Tannehill. Like, all this stuff about fresh starts is going to go back to him. Why? Tannehill went to Tennessee, blew the doors off, and had the Titans one game away from going to the Super Bowl when they went into Foxborough, upset the Patriots, went into Baltimore when everyone thought the Baltimore Ravens were unstoppable. But actually, I called it. I had a feeling Baltimore may have lost in the divisional round. They did. And he had the – it's not like, oh, the Chiefs killed the Titans in the AFC Championship game. Remember, the Titans went up early. It's just that we learned this year in the playoffs the Chiefs found that second gear and just ran with it. Good Lord, we love using that pun today. But even, too, like, I'm just looking at all the moves that are being happening in the AFC West. Like, the AFC West and the NFC West could be the best divisions in football going forward.
The thing about our division is that there was never a guy like Mahomes in our division. We had Rivers, Alex Smith, and our quarterback, the Broncos.
But Peyton.
I don't know. They had like a carousel in Denver for like the since Manning retired. They've had guys left and right: Osweiler, Lynch, Simeon. So they're not even really worth mentioning. But we've had quarterbacks that we had to deal with. Rivers has been up until the past couple seasons. He was a great regular season quarterback. The playoffs, not so much, but. In the regular season, he was great. We had to deal with him, though. And then Alex Smith, more so the same thing, you know, with Kansas City. But we've never had a guy that we've had to, like, legit fear. And now I know what those NFC teams that are not the Patriots feel like. Because they've had to fear Tom Brady this whole time since he's been a Patriot. And now we're going to get that with Mahomes. The reason I bring this up is because this is really going to, I think, shake things up in the division to make teams that are not the Chiefs look and say, okay, we can have a quarterback, but we need something to neutralize this guy because I mean, it's easier said than done trying to stop them. I mean, the Niners couldn't do it, and they had, you know, arguably the best defense in the league this past season. But Mahomes is really going to be the thing that shakes the division up. I mean, now Rivers is not there. The Broncos, I don't know what they're going to do. There's rumblings here and there about them and Jordan Love. I don't know, if that really is legit, because I think Drew Lock kind of secured that position last season. But this division, I think, is going to force teams to get better. And on paper, definitely be up there with one of the best divisions of football, if not the best. It's just going to be who really uses their draft picks wisely. Because, I mean, hey, on paper, we look pretty good. We got two first-rounders. We don't have a second. But I honestly think we're going to end up trading back into the second. But it just depends what you do with your draft picks. All the teams have money. Except the Chiefs. But they don't really need to go out and sign guys. Except one of their own. It's just going to depend. What do you actually do with your cap space? What do you do with your draft picks?
That's my big question with the Chiefs is, because look at everyone saying this year how Mahomes can go cash his big ticket right away, get his $40 million a season. The more I thought about it, with a guy like Mahomes, as great as he is, maybe if he holds back for a couple of years, you can bring back a Sammy Watkins player. Because if you lose like a Sammy Watkins, it's going to hurt the Chiefs, not like significantly, but it's going to be one less weapon for him to have. Travis Kelce, who's on a very, I think he's only making like $9 or $10 million a season. He's going to get paid eventually. So the Chiefs, that's like how you're saying the Broncos have to use their picks rightly. The Raiders, who in my opinion have like Mike Mayock, one of the most smartest minds in football. Sure, his voice may be a little annoying from time to time, and he may say some really weird things, but he knows what he's doing. So I feel like Raider fans are going to go into this draft knowing, hey, we're going to get someone good. Like, if you guys can go out there with your first pick, your pick, and get like a Jerry Jeudy, for example, from Alabama, like having whoever you have a quarterback, say it's Carr, you're going to have Waller, Williams, Jeudy, Jacobs. And with that offensive line, the Raiders, I'm not saying they're going to be winning the AFC West, but they're going to be knocking on that wild card door right there.
I agree. I mean, going up to the last season, we overachieved. Regardless of how we finished the season, we overachieved. We were not supposed to be that good. We doubled our season total win prediction by a lot of analysts within like week six. Week seven. We definitely overachieved. Going into the game against the Jets, we were, I want to say, 6-4. We were a game behind the Chiefs, who were 7-4 at that time in the AFC West. And then I don't know what happened, but besides us never being able to play on the East Coast, never being able to play in a little rain, it fell apart. I mean, but yeah, we showed that we can, when everything's clicking, like we're there. And we were there without any players. I mean, our leading receiver was a tight end, and I hate saying that because for years in the mid to, you know, like around 2004, 2003, when that was the case with the, or 2004, 2005-ish, when that was the case with the Chargers, when their leading receiver was Antonio Gates, I remember I would get an argument with my friend who was a big Chargers fan at the time, and then it's just like, yeah, we have the best receiver in football. Like, you don't have a receiver. You have a tight end. Like, you guys don't have any receivers. Like, don't, you know, it's, you know, it, don't try and change the labels here just because he's balling. He's an awesome tight end, but he's not a receiver. And then last year, that was the case for us. Like, our best receiver was a tight end, which I hated saying that because it shouldn't have been the case. You know, we had different plans, but the guy that we had just went mentally insane. The guy that was going to be our number two receiver was forced to be a number one receiver, which, you know, bless his heart, but he's not a number one receiver. He did play with a nagging injury. And I'm talking about Tyrell Williams.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know who I'm talking about, he played with a nagging foot injury, which I don't know. It wasn't really made public exactly what he was dealing with. And then the season ended, and then like this thing came out, like, oh, he has this and that. And I Googled it. I was like, oh shit. Basically, he gets an excruciating pain anytime he puts any sort of pressure when stepping on that foot. So I'm like, well, how is he supposed to run for routes? You know, so now I know why he was ineffective, you know, but yeah. Oh man.
The one take I have about that Chargers team, like you're saying, 2004, 2005, 2006 period, that was probably Phillip Rivers' best chance to win a Super Bowl, but they kept running into the New England Patriots in the playoffs. I remember it was the 2006 year. New England went into San Diego in the divisional round, and then 2006.
I love that.
Yeah. You know the game I'm talking about, that divisional round where it's, oh, after the Patriots dynasty, they weren't who, like, they were still good, but they weren't great. Then they went into San Diego that year, because that was the year that the Chargers, I believe that's the year LT was the, had that amazing rushing season. Like, he would have, like, number one fantasy player, number one, he just put up an insane year. But when they had Rivers, when they had Tomlinson, when they had Gates, when they had Vincent Jackson, that was their year to go to the Super Bowl. But like you said, you love seeing that. I love seeing that. Rivers just has that kryptonite, like how you're saying, dealing with Brady. Phillip Rivers dealt with Tom Brady on a lot of occasions. As for the Raiders, you're right about the overachieving. Plus this year, too, moving to a new, especially a new stadium, new city, new state is going to be a big challenge. I still think not having to deal with Antonio Brown for you guys, especially after we learned about the circus shit show that went on, like the whole, all the foot blister stuff, the helmet stuff, none of those distractions are going to happen. Also, too, as fun as Hard Knocks is, that's a distraction, too, where it's like, oh, there's cameras around, so we got to worry about how we act. The players can just go out there and be them. The only other thing I want to say about the Denver Broncos is part of me doesn't buy the hype on Jordan Love just because of his inconsistency. But I don't know why, too, they don't stick with Drew Lock unless John Elway secretly does not want a Bronco quarterback to go out there and break his records. But that's just me talking and trying to be funny. But also, too, like you said earlier with the season, how you guys were 6-4, then you had that rainy game. I remember that game you're talking about against the Jets where I just looked up the score. It was 34-3. But, yeah, mm-hmm. It was pouring rain in MetLife. But even, too, like, you guys had some big wins there, like, against the Colts. Like, I remember my survival pool, that gave a lot of people strikes, and I was even shocked when that happened. And then, too, you went across the pond to London and took care of the Bears. When the Bears, it was supposed to be opposite directions, where no one expected the Raiders to be good this year, and everyone had this high expectation for the Bears. Meanwhile, the Bears underachieved. You guys, at 7-9 is an overachieving season. It wouldn't shock me this year if the Raiders were a 9-7 team.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, last year we also had the hardest schedule in the league. I should mention that. And yeah, that game that you mentioned, the game against the Bears, that was a big mood changer for us because not only did we go overseas, and it's kind of funny when you think about it because we can't win on the East Coast, but we can go overseas and win. It's, I don't know. I don't get that part. But anyways, we go overseas, we win. We go overseas and beat a team that had a guy that we used to have that just had so much, like, you know, when we traded Khalil Mack, we got ripped to shreds. A lot of people were like, what the hell are you guys doing? You finally have a Hall of Famer on the defensive side of the ball and you do this. And, you know, then that's probably the nicest thing anyone said about us at the time. But when we beat them, it was hey, we can win some games. And if we win some games, we get confidence, we get momentum. And then at that point, all bets are off. Like, we can go in there and challenge some of these teams. And maybe we won't beat them, but we'll learn a lot about ourselves in the process and let us know what we actually have. For example, Max Crosby last year, who in my opinion should have won Defensive Rookie of the Year over fucking Bosa in San Francisco or Santa Clara, where the hell they play. He is a stud. He just came out of nowhere, and I say that because I'm the fan. I didn't do all the research and homework that Mike Mayock did for us because he found the guy. But this is our guy. Like, we found our guy who not only had better stats than Khalil Mack last year, but he's doing it on a rookie contract. So we got some time to lock him up. And you know, going back to that Bears game, our offensive line shut down Khalil Mack. Zero pressures. He didn't even lay a finger on Carr. Oh, well, he did, but after the game when they shook hands, because the whole game, Mack did not lay a finger on Carr. Like, that game did a lot for us, so that was one of those games to really, like, I hope that when they start, you know, training for the season and looking back on next season, which I know a lot of teams hate doing that, but they should at least take the good out of last season. And that game was probably the highest point in the season. We had other games that were probably bigger, better wins maybe, and you can make an argument that Colts win that you brought up was a better win, but For me, it was that one. That said a lot about the guys that we have on our roster.
The only way the Colts win was a bad win is if you picked them in a survival pool. Like, you picked the Colts to win that game, and then they let you down, like our suicide pool. That's the only
that
reason.
That was early in the season, so yeah, I could see why a lot of people would have picked them.
Also, too, like you said, with them having a rough schedule last year, they went, I believe it was, like, 7 weeks without being at home. Because, like, London was a home game, but it's an air bracket, quote, home game. Like, I know you can see me, I can't see you. But this year, too, no big road games as far as I know of, because last I heard, I doubt they'll be going to London again. I believe the Cardinals are going to be the team hosting the game in Mexico City. The next question I want to ask you is, what do you think the biggest, you know how you said, dwell on the strengths, not the weaknesses? What's one part, though, that you want the Raiders to see fixed in the offseason for next year?
Easily what the wide receiver position, but I'm not stressing on it just because, you know, with 2 first-round picks, 7 picks apart, unless Mayock pulls something out of his ass and he trades for someone like Stephon Diggs or out of nowhere trades for Odell Beckham Jr., which I would love, he has to draft the receiver. I think his recent comments about him saying that it's really risky to draft the receiver in the first round, I think that's that's him putting his poker face on, because there's guys that are climbing up the rankings and are climbing up just right now with the combine just concluding and whatnot. There's guys whose stocks are just rising. I know Henry Ruggs all of a sudden is now a guy that we've got beat writers saying that the Eagles need to go trade to get up to that 11th spot ahead of the Raiders to get Ruggs. And before it was Judy and Lamb, and now we got Ruggs. I can't remember who it was that I saw had Ruggs as the best receiver overall. And I was like, well, I don't know about that. But yeah, the reason I bring all this up is because there's a plethora of receivers in this class. Now, how big he wants to, you know, swing. If he wants to swing for the fences, you know, you take Lamb, you take Judy. I don't know if I take Ruggs at 12, but if they did, I mean, it's hard for me to be mad because it's a clear need for us, but you got to take somebody like that at 12. I know I saw a mock draft, one of many that are out there right now, had us taking, I think it was Kenneth Murray from Oklahoma, linebacker at 12, and then ending up with Ruggs at 19. I wouldn't hate that, but I think, I mean, I know it's kind of, it's really hard to really predict which guys are going to fall and whatnot, but in an ideal scenario, we take Judy at 12, we take Murray at 19. I love Lamb, and I think if you had to just take the guy who's more gifted, you take Lamb. But I just think Judy fits our offense better. I know that may sound silly to some people out there, but I think Judy fits our offense better than Lamb. If we take Lamb, I will not be mad. Again, the guy's a stud, but I just think for us, the need, the guy who fits the need, who fits the system, is going to be Judy. That's who I'm hoping he may have drafts at 12.
Even to Jerry Judy, like any highlights you see of him, he's just explosive off the line.
Oh, he's incredible.
He can get open, and once he's on the ball, he's gone. Like, what were you saying?
He's a freak of nature. He makes these catches. I'm just like, what the hell? Like, oh my God, that video of him at the combine where he made the catch, I think it was a one-handed catch. And then he as soon as he got done, like getting off the field, Judy was there to give him a high five. Even Judy was like, yeah, that was pretty dope. You flew way up there to get that. Like, Lamb's just a freak, man. Whoever gets him, if not us, they're getting a fucking stud in that guy.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, even though you're saying this year too, you have CeeDee Lamb, you have Judy, you have Ruggs. You've got Justin Jefferson out of LSU. You got T. Higgins from Clemson. There's also the kid, Shavert from Colorado, who's, like you said, the NFL Combine, unlike a lot of the other sports, is probably the most important for players because, look, the sample size in other sports, hockey, basketball, I don't even know if baseball does a combine. It's just not as, like, for them, it's like, okay, go work out quickly. You're not going to do any drills. I think basketball, man. I know hockey doesn't. But with the NFL Combine, it's, you know what, go out there, show us what you got. You interview with the team. So the teams right away are going to see, hey, we like this guy. We like this guy for our program. But also, too, with the NFL Draft, I'm always excited for free agency. I'm always excited for the NFL draft. This year, though, it just has that feeling of, like, there's going to be a lot of special talents coming out of this year. But even back to your point, too, like, look, the New England Patriots did it last year where they got N'Keal Harry in the first round, and people were skeptical because, oh, he was hurt, he was banged up the entire year. So, yeah, there's all that pressure with being a first-round receiver. But this year, I think it's different, where I'm not putting down N'Keal Harry. I think he's got a year, he's got talent, he's got the potential. It's just he's got to get healthy. Meanwhile, too, yeah. I do not want to see the Philadelphia Eagles draft a wide receiver because I could care less about the Philadelphia Eagles winning. Sorry, not sorry, Bobby Gross and a couple other people on Twitter I follow and know. But with the Raiders, especially, too, if you can get there, too, because there's a lot of teams, especially there's a team you play twice a year where their secondary is not exactly their good point. That's the Chargers, which I know they got Derwin James, but besides him, they don't. That's the one. There's the one weakness of their defense. I know they've got an amazing line with Bosa and Ingram, and I forget who else. But then they just traded Russell Okung, so their offensive line is shit. But
well, they did get a Pro Bowl guard in return, but. The problem with them, and it's been the case for years, is that they can't stay healthy.
No.
I mean, last year, Derwin James was out for a significant amount of time. I think it was, the season before that, Hunter Henry got hurt before the season started.
He tore his ACL.
They can never stay healthy. Like, when they're healthy on paper, I mean, what they put out there on the field this year, a different story. I mean, i.e. the game against the Steelers on Sunday night. On paper, they're loaded. And if they get a guy, I don't know if it's Teddy Bridgewater is going to be the guy they target. I don't know if they're going to maybe draft Justin Herbert from Oregon. But if they get a quarterback in there that they feel that they can build around, they already have weapons. They re-sign Eckler. They have Mike Williams, who still needs to break out of his shell. He did better last year than the year before. I mean, wasn't he hurt the year before?
No,
he was his rookie year. Yeah, well, I mean, last year though he did good. I think all things considered, he did good. They still got Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry. I don't know. I know you want the Patriots to go after Hunter Henry, but
I would love to see Hunter Henry in a New England Patriots uniform. Either him or Austin Hooper are the two big free agent wide receivers I would love to see in New England. But with the Chargers, every year, I always have the same thing, too, where I was like, you know what? They had a great 2018 season. 2019, they're going to do good. They ran into a brick wall, and then out of nowhere, Anthony Lynn's a good coach, but when they extended him, I'm like, I wouldn't be so sure about that. Because, like, look, I would still say this. You could vouch this better than me. I still think that the Raiders are a hotter commodity, and there's more fans in Southern California who cheer for the Raiders than the Chargers.
Oh yeah, easily. That's the reason the league didn't want. What happened was originally the very very first initial idea was just bring the Rams to LA, just them. And then once they figured out that, you know what, we're gonna get a second team here. The Raiders were the shoe fit for LA. Like, we've already played there, and it's like we never left. Like, you go to Disneyland, you go to Knott's Berry Farm, any of the theme parks there. Just, and I'm throwing those out there because it's, you would not expect to see a lot of football gear there, but you go to those places, I've been in those places, and you see nothing but Raider jerseys and dads there. like they're so beloved in Southern California. It's insane. So then the league, you know, they wanted that second team, and they figured, well, the Chargers have been trying to get out of San Diego for years. I think ever since the city made it clear that they favor the Padres over the Chargers, when they gave them Petco, they teased them with the supposed stadium plan that they were going to build in downtown San Diego next to the convention center, home of Comic-Con, and that never came about. Like, they put out that plan, they had a big presentation, they showed what the stadium was going to look like with Coronado Island in the background, like, oh yeah, look at this, glitz and glamour, this is going to be the stadium of California. Never happened. Never was never close. So, you know, once the Chargers saw the writing on the wall, they've been wanting to get out. The league recognized that, and they basically said, hey, you guys want to come jump on board? Because we kind of need another team, and we might as well pick a team that's inferior to the Rams. So they picked the Chargers because they knew that if they picked the Raiders, California, Southern California fans are only going to support one team. They're not going to pick two teams to spend hard-earned money going to see them at SoFi Stadium with what should be outrageous prices. So if they pick the Raiders could suck and people will still pay to go see them because it's the Raiders. But if they pick, like, let's say they had the Rams who were balling a couple years ago, they picked the Raiders who were not balling 2 years ago, it would look really embarrassing for the league and for the Rams if the Raiders had more seats filled than the team that's getting ready to go to the Super Bowl. You know, it's that. So they did not want that. So they picked the Chargers, and it's been a disaster. Last year there was rumors that they were trying to get out of LA back to San Diego, which was never going to be the case because they're basically tied to that for now. But yeah, not only are the Raiders still beloved in Southern California, but the Chargers, they're not loved at all. Have you seen the crowd that they play in front of?
They play 16 road games a year. Fans.
Yeah, it's, you know, if the Patriots are in town, there's nothing but Patriots fans in the crowd. If the Steelers are in town, nothing but Steelers fans. It's sad. Like, I think who is it? I think it's the Galaxy that play in that stadium that they play in.
And the LA Wildcats.
Throws a more who is it?
The LA Wildcats too, the XFL. But no, it is where the game is. Dignity Health Sports Park or something like that. They change their name like every other year. But no, it's where the LA Galaxy play because I'm pretty sure LAFC play closer to downtown Los Angeles. Because that stadium's a little bit outside of LA, right? It's in, I think, what's the city called? Carson?
Carson is where the Chargers play. But it used to be called Home Depot Stadium, I think it was.
Okay.
The LA Football Club plays in, what's it called? Bank of America Stadium. That's a nice stadium. Yeah. But again, they fill it up. And, I mean, the Major League Soccer is a lot more popular than it was a few years ago, but still. It's really embarrassing that a Major League Soccer team outdraws you and you're a National Football League team. That's really sad.
Even next year, actually, I want to pull this up quickly. I'm just going to pull it up quickly. What the, I'm just going to Las Vegas' page quickly. I just want to see next year in SoFi Stadium, the teams that are coming in, guess what? You've got the Patriots coming in. Like, you're going to have more Patriot fans. The Jaguars, I don't know. The Falcons.
This is the Chargers schedule or the
Chargers,
Rams?
Chargers.
Okay.
Yeah, the Chargers, they also play the Jaguars at home, the Falcons, and the Panthers, and then they play all three. Like when you guys go to SoFi Stadium next year, it's going to be black and silver.
Oh, yeah. We got 10 home games next season. We got 8 in Vegas, and we got 2 at SoFi because we play the Rams there as well.
Oh.
Yeah, it's that's why whenever we play the Chargers on the road, I'm like, especially if it's like when we really need a win, you know, I'm just like, all right, cool. We got a home game coming up. That should help us out.
Because even I remember last year too, there was the game where the Chargers hosted the Packers and then the Packers just got their asses kicked. But then also too, that Sunday night game, as bad as it was, in that opening intro, you saw nothing but those yellow towels, those terrible towels, just being swung around by people in black and yellow jerseys. Like, that's just got to be embarrassing. Like, I understand, too. Yeah, like, San Diego's home. LA's not there. The Chargers are always going to be second fiddle to the Rams. Like you said, it's just another, oh, hey, we need you to come along. It's like when you're looking for a roommate and you go on Craigslist. Like, no offense to the Chargers fans out there. Actually, that's the one franchise. I don't think I know a person who is a Chargers fan. Like, I remember I was at a Tim Hortons about a while ago, the coworker, and we saw a guy wearing Chargers gear, and I'm like, I think that's the first time I've ever seen anyone repping Chargers gear in Canada. Like, it's just one of those franchises that, like, a lot of people, I think, liked them in the 2000s, like, because of LaDainian Tomlinson, but now it's kind of like, more excited to see what's being hosted there next March in WrestleMania than an LA Chargers game where you're probably still going to have, that's another subject for another day, but even with the new stadium, just the fact that, like, yeah, you're going to be in a new stadium and you're not going to have that many of your home fans in it. It's just got to be a feeling of, like, for the players even too, like, that just probably rips at you emotionally. Meanwhile, with the Rams game, Rams fans are going to be selling out that stadium. I don't know the exact attendance, but I know it's like 70-something thousand.
Yeah, it's up there. It's a lot. I think it's around the same, and ours is supposedly 72,000. So yeah, it's up there.
Let's get a quick look here. SoFi Stadium, 70,240 expendable to 100,240 for Super Bowls, WrestleMania events, FIFA World Cup, Summer Olympics, which are coming in about 8 years from now, and other major events like the Super Bowl, I believe, is in 2022. And then the college football national championship, I think, is 23 in LA.
Yeah, the first big one's going to be Mania, though, right? I don't think they're hosting anything. Or is it the Super? You just said 2022. Yeah, we'll see how they handle a big show. Because, I mean, with new stadiums, that's the thing. They're flashy, they're nice, but a lot of things can go wrong. So we'll see how they handle it. But
AT&T Stadium's ticket scanners. Well, who said that?
Oh, God.
Just wanted to say, because you basically nailed, like, two and two together, where I also heard a rumor where, and this is going to sound bad, and we're going to go to wrestling for a bit. Why? Because this is called the YWC Football Talk Podcast, that WrestleMania is kind of the, let's see what we can do here for, like, or what we do for WrestleMania, how do we improve on it for the Super Bowl, which for people like me, who are probably going to be going to WrestleMania, and people like Miguel, who I assume, I don't know if you'll be in SoFi Stadium next March, but more than likely, considering it's your home. But the fact that it sounds like that, and also too with the LA traffic, those are things that honestly already worry the hell out of me. And we're still 365 plus days away from WrestleMania 37. But I just wanted to ask you quickly, with like Levi Stadium, it didn't seem like there was any of those issues. So if SoFi plays their cards right, they want to probably make fans leaving it as, hey, a memorable experience, as opposed to we don't ever want to come back to the stadium like how a lot of us feel about AT&T.
I would hope that's what they want to do, is leave a good impression on the fans that leave that stadium that night after Mania takes place. The thing that concerns me, though, is what you were just mentioning right now, is that's what's been put out there, is that the city of Inglewood, you know, where the stadium's at, they basically forced WWE's hand and say, well, if you want Mania here, it's 2021, or I don't know when it'll be, but we... That's the year we want, you guys. And, you know, I don't know if I'm hoping they approach it like it's the Super Bowl, you know, just be super cautious, be basically just be on your game, you know, don't treat it like, well, it's just wrestling. You know, we can kind of half-ass it, know what our flaws are, blah. I'm like, no, I'm hoping we don't get that kind of treatment, but, I don't know, man. It can't be any worse than Dallas. I mean, the only way it can be worse is if we miss a chunk of the show, because at least we got in before the show started.
Yeah, and also, too, the stadium, I feel like compared to other ones where it was like in Orlando, for example, where I was in the sweltering heat waiting to get inside, I know California, or at least I've looked it up, it's not as hot. Like, what's the weather there like right now?
Mid, high 70s.
Which is honestly fine. Like, it's... You know what, you can wear shorts and a t-shirt, you may be able to get away with jeans, I'd assume, but you're not going to be, like, dying if the heat's not going to be, like, exhausting, I feel like. It's going to be, like, more like, you know what, it's a nice heat, right?
Yeah, it's not strong at all, and I'm just judging by looking out the window, but let me see if I can look it up.
Yeah. It's all good, if you don't
right
know
what... now, oh wow, it's way off, it's 66 right now. Yeah, I don't know what that is in Celsius, but...
66. Let me do some quick conversions, just because, obviously, the viewership does... No one sees this, only Miguel and I do, because we're on Skype. But let me just look this up quickly. 66 Fahrenheit is about 18, which, honestly, I'd be wearing shorts.
See? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's what the weather was like when I was in Las Vegas in December 2018, so... Even too, like, say for an example, if Mania ever goes there, because which I saw when I saw that stadium, the steel was going up, and even then I could tell it was huge. But both these stadiums, I just feel like it's this big game of like one upsmanship where it's like, okay, Levi Stadium came in and you can test this for me, but it seems like a world class facility. Now, SoFi is going to come in and they're going to raise it up with that big Oculus scoreboard. And now you have this big black stadium too, and also too with the Vegas stadium. I know it's right off the strip where they have a bridge connecting the stadium to Mandalay Bay. So even with that case too, traffic won't be so bad, but we'll cross that bridge whenever we get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, guys, I think a short podcast. What else was I going to say? The only other thing quickly I wanted to add on to with the Chargers is if they decide to move up and go for two, I think that'll be a huge gamble, but I don't think they'll get him. But I could see Herbert or Bridgewater being their quarterback, even though I assume you could care less about what the Chargers do.
No, I do got to care because, after all, we're going to play them. You know, we play them twice every year. But the only reason I'm just kind of, like, not really concerned is because this is such a big draft for us that it kind of, like, makes me preoccupied already. Like, there's other years where, you know, we our usual top 10 pick or, you know, we got one pick in the first round. And we still are presumably pieces and tons of pieces away from even – doing anything, but because I feel like we're knocking on the door to being an actual respectable team and we got two picks in the first round, I feel like I'm so tied up in my team that I haven't really had time to really be concerned with the other team. But I'm glad you brought up Tua, because I thought we were going to go the whole podcast without talking about him. It's so crazy how a guy's medical condition could just alter the whole first round, man. If he were to go, like, for example, I don't think this will happen, but it's because it's been talked about a lot on TV. If you were to go to Washington, holy crap, all of a sudden Chase Young drops to number three. You got teams that are trying to trade with the Lions, but the Lions don't want to drop too far down because they may want to take Herbert. It's insane how this one thing is going to just alter the whole draft. If he falls to the Dolphins at five, and then, you know, you still got Herbert, you still got, like, oh my God, like, it's going to be insane. But yeah, I think it all starts with Tua. If Burrow wasn't the guy that he is coming out of college, and it was actually debatable whether or not, you know, the Bengals were going to take Burrow or Tua, like, if Tua was healthy, then it would be, that's the only way it could get crazier. Like, if it comes out well before the draft, hey, Tua's 100%, he won't have any concerns, no, you know, serious damage, blah, blah, blah. And if the Bengals start reconsidering, then, oh my God, like, it's, that I remember, this reminds me of the, what was it, the 06 draft when Reggie Bush, Matt Leiner, Vince Young all came out of college, and it was just, the Texans ended up signing Mario Williams the day before the draft, which was unheard of. So they already know, like, everyone knows, it's not speculation. He signed with the Texans, like, he's with the Texans now. That means Reggie Bush is there at number two. And then the Saints were just having the ball, taking all those calls from the league, and ultimately ended up picking them. But it was pure madness, you know. And of course, I was upset when Matt Leiner dropped to us and we took Michael Huff instead. But, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, like, if Tua can have that same impact that close to the draft, like Reggie Bush did, oh man, we're in for a really entertaining few days leading up to the draft in Vegas. The Chargers are there at six. I know because you mentioned that I wasn't really concerned with the Chargers. I'm more concerned, if anything, what the Chiefs are going to do, because are they just going to keep piling on stars on their team? I mean, I know they got to – earlier you mentioned something that I forgot to address. The guys that they have on offense, I don't really think they're that much of a threat to – like, they have to re-sign Sammy Watkins. I don't think so. Do they have to re-sign Conley? I don't think so either. I think those are guys that are thriving in the system that they're in, thriving in the quarterback that's throwing in the ball. I think they're easily replaceable, which is why it does scare me that I don't know who I can mention. You mentioned his name, not one of the three receivers that we usually, you mentioned the other guy's name. What was his name? It was Ruggs, Judy, Lamb, and then there's a fourth guy you mentioned. Was it Jefferson?
The other two, yeah, Justin Jefferson out of LSU and Higgins out of there. And what I meant by the whole Sammy Watkins thing, that's where I was saying too, like, hey, if you can keep him, it's one of those things. It's fine and dandy, but if you lose him, then that's when the Chiefs are, they're going to be making calls. But that's why mainly the thing I was saying too with Mahomes of the money thing is, more or less, not so much about those receivers who are interchangeable, but you got a guy that wears number 87 who, let's be honest, you got to keep on your team.
Yeah, no doubt. And the reason I brought up Jefferson is just because, like, what if, you know, they get a guy like that, and all of a sudden you got a guy that played well in college, but because now he has Patrick Mahomes, like, oh my God, is that going to be another guy that we're really going to have to worry about? Just like Tyreek Hill. So I think that's the team, if anything, that's more concerning to me. And you know, just throughout the AFC, I'm curious of what you guys are going to do, because if Brady does leave, do you guys go after Andy Dalton? Do you guys bring in a Marcus Mariota, or do you guys drop some money and get Teddy Bridgewater? Like, it's going to be really entertaining for fans from the outside looking in to see, okay, is it really Belichick? Is it really Brady that's making all this work? Or is it maybe a little bit of both, which I personally think is the case? I know Matt Stafford's name, Matthew Stafford, was brought up in trade rumors because of the dead cap hit that the Lions would take if they trade him. I don't think it's possible, but if you guys pull that off, you guys are right back up there, because you put him in there with under Belichick, you draft the receiver, or actually you probably would have to include your first rounder. But if you get anybody, I mean, you guys still have Harry, you know, there's Sanu. I think that would work with Stafford. Like, that, there's so much that can happen with that. Then AFC North, the Browns, I think, would probably be the team that I'm curious to see, because last year was a huge disappointment for that team. The team that they had on paper should, at the very least, make the playoffs, despite their history, because I know that's everyone's scapegoat with them. They've been bad for this many years. Okay, but that's not to say that this year they can end all that. Last year should have been the year where they ended all that, and they didn't. So I'm really curious to see what they do there. I know the Bengals already said they're going to keep AJ Green, which I hate him for, because I was hoping we would bring him in. The AFC South, I mean, I don't know. Do the Titans get Brady? Do the Colts get Brady? I think whatever happens with those two teams, and if one of them gets Brady, I think that's going to be ultimately what predicts the rest of the AFC South as far as the shift in balance. Because let's just say the Titans get Tom Brady. Are you picking the Titans to win the AFC South over the Texans? I think a lot of people would.
The one thing I want to say quickly, and I have harped the Texans on this for a while, is that their secondary sucks. They cannot stay healthy, and their offensive line, like, Deshaun Watson's a great quarterback, but the reason you see him scrambling so much is because their offensive line is up there with the worst of the worst in the NFL, in my opinion. You don't have Tuntle resign. They don't have a first round. They don't even have a pick until, I think, number 75 or 80 in the draft. I think Rivers personally is going to the Colts. I don't think Brady is going to the Colts. Mm-hmm. But also would shock me, too, if the Colts tried to move up and make a play for Justin Herbert. Because
for the Colts?
Yeah, the Colts. It would not shock me if they tried to make a play for Herbert. The Jaguars are a huge question mark, considering they're just offloading their entire... Like, I saw a photo recently where it was that stellar defense they had 2 years ago, that ever since that AFC Championship loss to the Patriots, they just fell off a cliff. Like, now, they don't want to have Nick Foles anymore. They want to stick with Gardner Minshew. The Titans, who knows what they're going to be? Can they repeat the success of last year? I think the Colts in that division are the team that are the most ready to at least put their name in that Super Bowl thing if they can get a quarterback who can just light it up. Because obviously, from what it sounds like, Andrew Luck loves retirement. He just became a new father. He's enjoying that. He's been traveling with his wife. But if the Colts can get, like, a Phillip Rivers, a Tom Brady, or, like, not if they get Herbert, it'll be a couple years. But if they can get Rivers, what's stopping them from saying we could potentially be seeing Colts, Chiefs, AFC, Colts, Chiefs. I almost thought, blanked out for a second, because whenever you think of Rivers, you automatically think of the Chargers. You could see them potentially in the AFC Championship game. The North is, like you said, another big question mark is, how is Big Ben going to be healthy this year? My big concern with Lamar Jackson is, can you win in January? Because so far he's gone, in those two games in January, he's cracked under pressure against the Colts, not the Colts, I'm getting my teams mixed up, against the Chargers and against the Titans. The Bengals obviously are a work in progress, and the Cleveland Browns too. I called it from jump last year. I didn't think they were going to suck, but I did not see this whole hype train of they're going to win this many games. They could potentially go to the Super Bowl. No. And also, too, the big thing with the Browns right now is the Myles Garrett suspension, because he's probably going to be out at least until the middle of October.
What an idiot.
Yeah, I know. That's just, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, that's your best player. Even though you got Odell, even though you got Baker, even though you got Landry, you got Nick Chubb, you got Kareem Hunt, Myles Garrett is the backbone of that defense, and he is the best player on that team. So for him just to throw it all away because he got pissed off and had to swing and, like, even though there's all those rumors, which I hope aren't true, about him about Mason Rudolph saying those N-word. There's just certain lines you don't cross. Like, God forbid you crack his skull open and, like, potentially ended his career, his life even. Like, it could go off the field. The other thing I wanted to say, too, like you were saying, too, with the Patriots, Matt Stafford or Teddy Bridgewater are my top two for if Brady leaves. Or the third option is we write off 2020 and we tank for and we get Trevor Lawrence in 2021.
If that happens, like, oh, God, man.
Oh, I know. I'll be salivating and smiling like a complete – I will be smiling at everyone like a complete jackass and enjoy every second of it. But everyone's going to be there just like why angrier than when Miz won the WWE title in 2010. But the one team, though, I do see, and they are a receipt, and this pains me to say this. This absolutely pains me to say this. But if the Buffalo Bills draft a good wide receiver like a T. Higgins or a Justin Jefferson, it could potentially come down to Week 17 with the Patriots and the Bills for the division if Brady gets the weapons he wants and he can be as good as he can be. Like, the Buffalo Bills aren't a joke to write off anymore. Like, the Buffalo Bills are a legitimate team in the NFL. It's just they got to still go through those growing pains, but who's to say that they're not crashing tables in the middle of January?
They don't even have to draft one. They could sign Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, that's the thing, too.
You know, there's guys in the AFC and the free agency pool that they can get, and I mean they don't have to break the bank. I mean, there's guys like Randall Cobb, you know, that they could also get. I don't know about Aguilar, but
I don't think they would want Aguilar.
DeMarcus Robinson is going to be heavily pursued by the Eagles, is what's being put out there. But yeah, there's some names that they can plug in there.
Jeffrey.
Alshon Jeffrey. Well, I don't think he's a free agent, though.
I think the Eagles are letting him walk. I heard the last I heard, they're letting him test free agency.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
I don't see that. No way.
Yeah.
Just letting him walk? I don't – oh, man.
I got to Google this because the last I saw, like, I know they're letting – I think it was Jason Peters or Vinny Curry, but –
Yeah, Peters is hitting the free agency.
Like the first two articles I see from The Athletic, could Alshon Jeffrey be a part of the, it says to the Jets receiving needs, potential trade packages, landing spots for Alshon Jeffrey. Eagles are looking to move Alshon Jeffrey. Exploring Alshon Jeffrey's potential split with the Eagles. Like, if they let him go, like, honestly, I don't know what the Philadelphia Eagles are doing. Like, because... Sorry.
Well, he has been hurt. I know any Eagles fans that may be listening to this, they'll tell you, like, the guy's body has been his biggest enemy. Last season, his, like, you know, they say that a receiver's best ability is availability, and that was not there with him last season. Especially when poor freaking Wentz, he needed some help at the receiver position. Why they never went out and try to sign Michael Crabtree, I don't know. But then again, the rest of the league has basically given up on Crabtree. But that's a different story. But yeah, like, that season, I think, really just made Eagles fans say, you know what? You were good for us, but I think we're done with you now. It's not to say that he can't be effective somewhere else. Like, I know you'd welcome him on the Patriots. I would welcome him on the Raiders. But I can see why Eagles fans are at that point where they're just like, yeah, we need to dump the guy. Because you know, it is what it is. I mean, the guy, like, remember we were saying earlier about Mariota. I think he just needs a change of scenery.
Yeah.
And to stay healthy.
Also, too, that's like how I was saying earlier why I want Austin Hooper in a New England Patriots uniform is because the Atlanta, when I look at the Atlanta Falcons, I'm still under the belief they have not been the same team since they had that collapse in the Super Bowl. But, like, look, you've got all this world-class talent and you can't do anything with it. But, like, the fact is to let a highly skilled tight end, Austin Hooper, walk to a contending team, like, that says a lot about your what you're doing down there in Georgia. But the other thing I want to point out too quickly with the Pittsburgh too is also health. Like for example, Juju and Connor being hurt. If Wentz can stay healthy, and the other thing too with Philly is the defense. Like, they're good, but they let up some.
They're a good team. I know they get a lot of crap. I know because. I see some people that we follow on Twitter, and they mention the Eagles and how, you know, they have a guy that's injury prone and this and that. But I think they're a good football team. They're a really good football team. They just, I don't know, they underperform. That division, though, total joke, man, at the same time. Like, is I don't know if it's as bad as the AFC West when the Seahawks won it with a 7-9 record, I think, like, in 2010, I think it was.
Which was the Marshawn Lynch game. I mean,
yeah, when they eliminated the Saints in the wild card round. But, yeah, that division is just god-awful. But, I mean, there's three teams that I'd rather see win than the Cowboys. So, you know, if, as long as the Cowboys don't win, then I'm okay with it. And at least each team seems to have a guy that you I don't know, maybe want to keep track of. Or I don't know, Washington has that right now. For me, it personally is Haskins. I think that they've done everything in their power to not help him than to help him. So that's the guy that I pay attention to in Washington. And, of course, the Giants, they got that beast of Barkley. Then you got the Giants, or I'm sorry, the Eagles that have Wentz. So there's a little bit of interest for me everywhere. But as long as those three teams have a common goal, it's beat the Cowboys.
Yeah, because even to the Dallas Cowboys, part of me hopes to God they overpay Dak Prescott. So, and also, too, going back to your Buffalo Bills point, they have a player, Amari Cooper, another example, like, why I was going to say Judy so well. Like, look at the, if you overpay Dak Prescott, you are not, like, even to, or if he holds out, why would Amari want to stay? Like, I know he said that thing earlier, oh, I want to be a Cowboy for life. That's because you're on the team you want, and you want to get the money. But if, say, for example, like, I was thinking with Amari Cooper, potential landing spots would be the New England Patriots, the Buffalo Bills, or the New Orleans Saints. Because, like, that's the one thing, too, I also think with the Saints need is they need another receiver, kind of like how the Green Bay Packers need someone to complement Davante Adams. Because when Davante Adams got taken away, let's be honest, the Packers really kind of shut down offensively. But also, too, they need a few other things. But with the Saints, you get Amari Cooper on there, or even if you get Amari Cooper in Buffalo, that makes those teams very scary. Like, Amari Cooper is a very, very good player in this league.
The thing I would dispute with that is that you're still not going to have your go-to number one receiver. And what I mean by that is, on 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1 at the end of the game, when you need a very crucial catch, I don't see Amari Cooper being that guy. He drops way too many passes. Every year, he's been top 5 at least in drop passes. He's horrible when it comes to consistency. When he catches the ball, when he's good, he can be really good. I'm not here to just shit on the guy. It's not like the guy's a scrub. He can play. Don't get me wrong. But if you're Buffalo and you need that security blanket for Josh Allen, I don't think he's the guy. If you're in New England and you're going to have another guy besides Tom Brady throwing someone the ball, you want consistency, he's not the guy. Like, there's teams I think he can play besides Dallas that would be okay, but no, like, I would not make him my number one receiver with the intention of, hey, the first guy I'm going to look at is him on a 4th and 1. Like, and that's coming from having him on our team a couple years. I know that, you know, he gave up on us, and I'm not holding that against him when I just say, in my unbiased opinion, that he is a really good receiver. Can be great, but he's not consistent. And for me personally, I love my receivers to be consistent. That's why Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, that's why they're in a league of their own. And not because they rack up touchdowns and yards, but because they consistently deliver. Anytime their respective quarterbacks get the ball, and, you know, after the center snaps the ball, I'm looking at those receivers because those are the receivers that I think are worth, you know, looking for as a first option. Amari Cooper, again, very good receiver. He's not one of them. That's why I would not overpay for him, because when you overpay a guy, you're basically saying we're going to overcompensate and just, you know, overpay a guy in this position. But because he's that good, potentially freeing up some other guys on our team will not be as big a sacrifice, because it'll be worth it if we can, you know, put up some points. I don't see him being that guy.
That's why I said the New Orleans Saints as a potential landing spot for Cooper, because he can go in there and it's like the same thing. Hey, I'm not the number one option. Obviously, like you said, Michael Thomas, number 13, rarely drops passes. But if anything, Cooper can be used as like in a decoy stance there, where it's, look, make it seem like we're going to him, even though Michael Thomas still. Because, like, if I was drafting fantasy right now, I have McCaffrey 1, and then Amari Cooper number 2, Michael Thomas at number 2, if I'm drafting fantasy right now. That's why, well, and that's the only thing I want to say about Cooper.
The Saints don't have the money, though.
That's the thing.
The Saints, you know, and they're going to try and get Hill. They're going to try and bring him back. And if you're the Saints, are you going to peel out? Like, let's just, they don't have the money, but let's just say they did.
Yeah.
To bring in Cooper, are you going to bring him in to be a decoy for that money? No, you got to bring him in to be potentially 1-1A. Even though I would not bring him in to be a receiver one. That's, if you're a team, if you're going to spend that much money, then he better be your first option, even though he shouldn't be, in my opinion. But, yeah, and in New Orleans, he wouldn't be that with Michael Thomas already there.
Yeah, but, like, with the Saints, too, I know with Taysom Hill, they did put the first-round tender on him, so meaning that if he does go somewhere else, they're going to get a first-round pick back. But I think chances are Teddy is gone and Taysom is the backup in New Orleans. But with the, I was trying to think here. That's why I was thinking Buffalo or New England for Cooper, because if he doesn't stay in Dallas, just because you want someone for that number one option. But then again, too, there's a bit of skepticism that comes with that. Meanwhile, and also, too, with New Orleans, they don't have the money, but then also, too, they got a running back who likes airheads that they got to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Alvin Kamara, even though him, too, was injuries this year, and that was, he kind of made me upset this year just because he was hurt for all that time, and it kind of killed me in my fantasy leagues. But, too, like, that's the other thing with fantasy football where it's just, you know what? You got to roll the punches sometimes. But, though there's a lot of other points I can make just because, like, we basically covered them all. But, anyway, I think that's it for today. But, anyway, thank you very much for coming on, Miguel. I'll have to have you on again sometime soon. Do you have a fun time here today on the YWC podcast, episode number 10, I should know, where we have made it to 10.
Sure did. Thank you for having me. We'll have to do this again after we see some action and free agency take place.
No problem. I want to get a podcast together with a bunch of guys from the YWC, a bunch of our close friends, just to talk football, just to talk about all these big, because this free agency period is going to be pure chaos. We are 1 week away from there. I will be back later in the week as Phil is back on the show with me. We're probably going to get that out sometime later this week. Phil? Yep. Phil and I are back because we either have to prepare our Tom Brady eulogies or do
that's why I was laughing, because I knew that's why he was going to be on to talk about Tom Brady.
We will be on to talk about Brady. We'll be on to talk about some other stuff too, but whenever him and I get on, it's one of those things, like, you know how you said I was surprised we haven't talked about Tua? Well, with us, it's going to be, we'll mainly talk about Brady, but we'll also talk about some other free agency stuff. Oh, but anyway, guys, that's going to do it for today. And I'll see you guys episode number 11. Like what I said, this is 10. 11 should be out later this week, probably by March the 14th. But anyway, guys, thank you very much for listening.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.